Welcome to Wine Road, the wine, when, and where of Northern Sonoma County. I'm your host, Marcy Gordon, with Beth Costa, Executive Director of the Wine Road.
Thanks to Ron Rubin, we're able to keep our podcast rolling along. The financial support of River Road Family Vineyards and Winery allows us to keep recording, keep sipping wine, and keep sharing stories with our listeners. Check out their website at riverroadvineyards.com and explore their Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Old Vine Zinfandel from the Russian River Valley, as well as a finely crafted Cabernet Sauvignon from the Alexander Valley. That's riverroadvineyards.com. And hey, thanks, Ron, for allowing us to make this show happen.
Welcome to episode 196. Today, our guests are Andrea Carr, the senior winemaker at Francis Ford Coppola, and two in one, Tim Bodell, the executive chef. Welcome, Andrea and Tim. We're so glad you're here.
Thanks so much. We're happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, we've had Tim on once before, and it seems to me that we talked about fishing out on a kayak at that point. Remember?
I do remember that.
Yes. We were going to make a date, and it just hasn't quite happened.
Was that 3 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a while. I just can never get over how anyone can not tip over in a kayak fishing. But apparently it can be done.
Well, you can find that out when you go with Tim.
I know. I think that's why it hasn't happened, because I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, but the offer is still there.
But just bring a wetsuit, you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm afraid of.
But is it a two-person kayak?
Well, they do make two-person kayaks, but the one I fish off of is a one-person kayak. But I do have an extra kayak.
So yeah, see.
You say the time, and we'll be there.
I think you want to be responsible for your own safety.
You have to be very balanced to fish and pull and
yeah,
all that.
Definitely. I think, battling Mother Nature with the wind and the waves is one thing. But also, if you happen to land, hopefully, a large fish.
Well, that's the thing.
That adds another layer of excitement to the whole process.
Excitement.
That is excitement.
I shouldn't say this, but I haven't fallen in yet. So.
Let's knock on my head, knock wood.
Right, first time for everything.
Right. Exactly. So what's happening there at Francis Ford Coppola? I heard that you've done a whole new menu, that things have really changed up in the rustic restaurant.
Yes, they have. A very exciting time. We, of course, have a core section of the menu with certainly pays homage to our history and Mr. Coppola. But we've started to work in more seasonality to the menu, focusing on our on-site culinary garden there, which is super exciting. We have a culinary gardener on our staff who I work very closely with, and he brings the most incredible world-class ingredients right in the back door of the kitchen. So that really drives the seasonal menu. So we're just a few weeks into our winter menu, and it's going really well. Dishes, braised short ribs, and some of those hearty flavors and winter vegetables.
It's fun, I think with restaurants that can have their own garden, you can plant a lot of different things also that you wouldn't normally be able to pick up at the grocery store or the farmer's market or whatever. So
yeah, I love that. We don't have a large enough garden to grow all of the produce for the restaurant. So that gives us the opportunity to have a wide variety of crops, like you said. Mm-hmm. At any given time, we can have upwards of 150 or 200 different crops.
Oh, wow.
When you factor in all the fresh herbs and the perennial fruits that we harvest.
Nice to have new menu items.
We skipped over an important part of our.
I know.
I don't know. We're discombobulated here, but wine of the day.
I know. Well, that's because we were drinking it.
I know.
We forgot to talk about it.
Andrea brought this beautiful Prosecco, the Coppola, Francis Coppola. And I have to say, the label is stunning. And it's just delicious. Tell us about it, Andrea.
Thank you. This is our first sparkling in the Diamond Collection. And so we're really excited about the fact that it is an Italian Prosecco. So we've partnered with a producer in Italy, so that way we can have it
real
DOC
Prosecco. Yes, I saw the DOC there.
And so, what we were really hoping for was something that was bright and crisp and clean and something that people would find appealing on its own and also for a cocktail. So that's why I brought it this morning, because it's early and you need breakfast wine.
Absolutely.
We make a few other good breakfast wines, but this one is pretty great.
It checks all the marks. This is really...
Yeah, like just what you described, bright and crisp and clean. Yeah.
It has just great... It does taste like Italian Prosecco, though. Mm-hmm. It really has that bright note and that kind of creamy grounding note. I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great addition to our Diamond Collection, and now you can get it in any store that you would find our normal diamond wines. So that part is a great addition. So we have these 750s, and then we also now have little tiny splits. We have 187s.
Ooh,
so
oh, sweet.
Danger.
So if you need like a little breakfast pickup, but not like a big way down, you can have
something that Beth would keep in her purse.
I would say purse size.
Yes. I have one in my car for in case of emergency.
I have a flare. I have a split.
That's right. That's right. They're all in the back, just in case.
You're so smart. So, Andrea, is it true, the rumor, were you the world champion axe thrower?
Oh, my
gosh.
I
didn't know what you were going to ask. The rumor is true. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Andrea competed in is it called Lumberjane when it's women or Lumberjack?
Lumberjill. I'm a Lumberjill, but I compete in Lumberjack sports. Yeah.
So, this is sawing and axe throwing and
chopping.
You don't hustle up the pole.
I don't. No,
okay.
I don't.
That just blew my mind. I think that's so incredible. Maybe someday, do you do a little axe throwing out at the winery, maybe?
Not generally. I've been known to bring an axe from time to time just to keep the fear in my employees.
Yeah. I was going
to
say, it's
right?
Just
saber something with the axe and then throw the splits into
a
target.
We have joked about the sabering part, and I haven't tried it yet, but I think it may have to happen soon. I mean, we'll wear safety glasses. It'll be fine.
I think that's just phenomenal. I just love that. I mean, the sheer strength. I mean, if I was your employee, I'd be terrified of you.
We don't want them too scared.
You could snap me like a twig.
Nice.
Yeah, I started competing when I was in college, and it was just something that was really fun for me. I got to travel, and I got to be doing sports and meeting new people and going new places, and I love all of that. So I still do it today.
Where did you go to college?
Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo.
Huh.
Wow, so was the college lumber sports team?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Who knew?
Who
right?
knew?
I'm stunned. I can't.
I was trying to find my way in life, and a forestry class came up, and I thought I wanted to go that direction, and the logging sports came to be, and then I veered away from forestry, but it
well,
stuck
that
with me.
Sort of makes sense on the path: forestry, nature, wine making. I mean, it all seems to come together in a big circle. That's amazing.
That's a really giant big circle. So how did that circle come in to wine? I mean, how did wine finally make its way?
Yeah, so I actually grew up here in Sebastopol, and I'm a fourth generation Sonoma County native, and so my great grandparents, that's what they were, moved to Sonoma County in the northern part, and my parents settled in Sebastopol and on an apple orchard. And when I went away to college, I said, I'll never get into wine because everyone's ripping out our apple orchards for vines.
Yeah.
And it was just a different time in my life. I went away to school and then realized I needed to come back home because I didn't have a job after I graduated. And I got a degree in agricultural business with farm and ranch management kind of as my concentration. And I got a job at a winery, and the rest is history.
But your job was at in the vineyards then or in the cellar?
No, so I actually started in the lab.
Okay.
I was a harvest lab intern, and I worked there for 16 years, and I found it fascinating and the most interesting thing I'd ever experienced by the way that farming was happening and winemaking itself. So,
wow. Love it.
Yeah.
Well, cheers
That's
to that.
It seems to have worked out. So how long have you been at Coppola then?
So I'm going on my, this will be my fourth year at Coppola.
Nice.
Yeah.
They make so many wines. Do you have favorites over the years that you think, oh, yeah, this was really a winner. This one I'm so proud of. This is...
Well, we have a very special wine that we grow on site. The vines are there at the estate. It's Negro Amaro, and it's a planting that hasn't been planted for that long. And so we've had a few really strong vintages the last few years. And it's one of the most interesting wines just because who normally drinks Negro Amaro, especially in this area? So it's a really fun, different, dark, intense wine that people are always nicely surprised by.
Mm-hmm.
But my go-to is the Viognier. Our reserve Viognier is delicious. It's my perfect winter white, but I drink it all year long.
I just tasted that last night. So doing the review for our
varietal of the month. Right.
And it was such a standout. I was telling Andrea, and it's from Katie's Corner, which is a very storied vineyard in Sonoma County, and which I think they grow Viognier and Grenache Blanc and maybe Pinot there as well. a little bit?
Yeah, we just get the Viognier, so we only have the privilege of the
Viognier. It was just really lovely. You're very talented, is what I want to say.
Well, we have a really great team. They're very strong, and we've all found our niche, and we're super proud of the things that we make. And we encourage anyone to try some of our kind of off varietals that, it's not the everyday.
Where's the vineyard for the Negro Amaro?
The Negro Amaro is like right behind my office.
So it probably is very happy there with the heat.
It is. It really enjoys warm weather.
Right.
23 was not the best vintage for it. We're going to see what we can do, and we may or may not make it.
Summer was all cold. So,
Yeah. But the Negro Amaro really loves the heat
yeah.
and flourishes. The leaves themselves are bigger than your head.
Wow.
And so it fluctuates a lot with the heat and how the vine reacts, but it's great.
We are, pardon the pun, but we've become a hotbed for Italian varietals here.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a few wineries now on our little list along the wine road making Italian varietals, and so much so that we've made a page on our website just for those wineries. And
we should do a varietal a month, but it's a style, do Italian varietals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So note to self.
There you go. We can taste the Negro Amaro next time.
Yeah. No, that's great. So is that originally more concentrated in Puglia part? It's the boot of Italy?
All I know, the backstory is that Francis came in one day and said, hey, I tasted this great Negro Amaro when I was in Italy, and we should make it. And everyone looked at each other and said, well, no one grows that variety.
If only
here.
There was some.
And he said, well, we'll just plant some. So we have a little over 2.5 acres or so planted on the estate.
So is it working in the restaurant end of it and the food pairing, do you love working with the winemakers and coming up with, food pairing ideas?
Oh, definitely. I love that. Andrea is just so talented, and her and her team make such incredible wines, food-friendly wines. And, there's certain parallels that I see between what I do and what a winemaker does. So, it's a pleasure to be able to do that.
We were fortunate enough for the Wine Road to have we have a once-a-year meeting in December. It's really more of a giant happy hour, but we call it our meeting because we're supposed to have a meeting. So this year we were lucky enough to have it at Francis Ford Coppola Winery. It was really nice. You did a killer job.
Thank you so much.
Really,
it was great to have all of you.
And I got to go too, and the food was delicious.
I know. It was. It was one of those nights I got to go home and tell my husband, oh, I had to work late again tonight. And then I just leave out all the rest of the details.
So on the charcuterie board, do you have like a miniature two-handed saw to cut the bread in honor of Andrea there?
Yeah, I have a miniature axe pen as well that I keep in my purse for real, just in case.
Just put that on your list. Make little tiny saws for the bread.
Yeah, I'll see if somebody is willing to like make that for me. So that way we can like
item.
It can be like, and then signed by me. And
yeah.
Then Tim can do something special with the food and it'll be great.
So how did you find out about that, Marcy?
I am a journalist, my friend.
I was going to say Google. Google's okay. Your friend, right?
I've just been following you around for the last few weeks.
Like, I don't think I would go that deep.
It's probably the only thing that pops up when you type in my name.
I don't want to be like just show up and drink. I like to try to learn a little bit about our guests.
Oh, I just show up and drink.
I did learn.
I like both tactics.
That's why this works so well.
I know. Does it?
No, I do my little bit of cursory research, but I thought, oh, is this a hack? Is this real? I wasn't quite sure because you can't believe anything on the internet.
Yeah, at this point, scary. So we did hear a little bit about how you started in the wine business. What made you decide that, I really want to live my life in the kitchen and work 14-hour days, 7 days a week?
Doesn't it sound glamorous?
I know. Yeah.
I have a long love affair with food that started from a very young age. My mom was a very accomplished home cook and took me under her wing and showed me what beautiful, delicious food was all about. So those are some of my earliest memories with my mom in the kitchen. I was always
That's
the kid
fabulous.
That, had a salad and a hard-boiled eggs in their lunch, So I think my mom leveraged that and really built up my palate. And we had a humble upbringing, so we didn't go out to eat a lot. You know, our big treat was the first Friday of every month. We'd get pizza delivered, and we'd all be gazing out the window waiting for that car to come back. So I didn't have much experience eating out at restaurants until I was well into my teens. And when I first realized that being a chef was a thing, I was probably 18 years old and worked for my first real chef and instantly fell in love with the entire process, the smells, the sounds, the tastes.
The pace.
And never look back. And the pace, right. You have to be a little bit high strung, high energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my foundation.
Years ago, I worked at Kendall Jackson. We had a full-time chef at the time, and my daughter was in high school, and she'd come in during event times, and she would help in the kitchen, and she fell in love with it. I think, like, it's crazy down there. Like, I do whatever I can to avoid the kitchen that was under my office so I could hear what was happening in the kitchen. She just thrived on it. She loved it. I mean, she went to culinary school. So yeah,
it seems like you have to thrive in chaotic situations and be quick thinker. Really to, you know, be a success in the industry.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But now look at the bear that the whole show is about, being in a restaurant and restaurant life. It's winning every award imaginable.
They did a great job, really sort of displaying the intensity
was
my takeaway. I mean, it seemed like every single scene was super intense.
Right.
And I think that really captures the feel of a professional kitchen.
That's what it looks like. That's what it feels like to me. So what else new that's happening at the winery as far as guest experiences? So you're in the cellar and you're in the restaurant, but what do you think, you know, guest experiences are?
Well, like we mentioned earlier, the seasonal menu changes in Rustic is very exciting. We're doing a family-style dinner in Rustic, reminiscent of the former Atavola, which was beloved. We used to do that every Tuesday night.
Yes, people love that.
Pre-pandemic. Now it's been reimagined, and it's called La Familia. It's the second Wednesday of every month. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited about that. The last one we did was focused on Dungeness crab, which we were very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Huge turnout. Very happy guests. So that's fun. Something to look forward to.
It's a preset menu.
It is a preset, family style menu.
Oh,
So that's been a huge success. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. It gives me and the team more flexibility to just highlight seasonal ingredients and whatever's coming out of the garden. We are closed Tuesday, Wednesday, with the exception of that La Familia on property. We have a new lunch menu. We have a new brunch menu.
Which is
very exciting and has been received well by the guests. A lot of great things. We have a slight reconfiguration of the leadership team in the restaurant. So there's a new energy with a focus on, you know, stellar service and great food. So that's brought a lot of energy into the restaurant to start the new year.
It makes it so easy to recommend to visitors to come out to Francis Ford Coppola because there's a restaurant. You know, you have it really, you can spend the day there. In the summer, you can get a reservation. There's the pool. I mean, it's a very unique situation in that there's an actual on-site restaurant. Mm-hmm. And that makes it such a great experience.
Yeah. It's funny because I think visitors expect that to be sort of a given, that you can stay in lodgings that are, you know, surrounded by vineyards, and you go to restaurants surrounded by vineyards. And there are very few that are like that in Sonoma County. I mean, yeah, you're easy to recommend. And I do love sitting out there in the summer. I mean, that patio is so beautiful, and you are just right there looking over the vineyards. It's perfect.
Yeah, I think definitely it's the best view in the county.
It is beautiful.
And the tasting room's terrific, too.
Yeah.
We have a number of different tasting experiences, and we're open from 11 to 5 in the tasting room and 11 to 7 in the restaurant. So, you can really spend the whole day there.
And still see all the movie memorabilia still there. So
that's
people
right.
love that.
Mm-hmm.
Time for our Fast Five. Who do we have on the line now?
It's Renee Perry from Papa Pietro Perry Winery.
Well, hey, Renee.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in, Renee.
What's your Fast Five recipe?
Well, this is something we have lunch every day at the winery together as a group, and it's one of the things that we love the most, and it's Thai curry.
Nice.
So it's really, really simple. You just buy a jar of that Thai red curry or yellow curry, green curry in the grocery store, you know, and you put that into a big pot and you saute it for about 3-5 minutes just to get it going. And then you throw in a can of coconut milk.
Yes.
Okay.
and a little bit of fish sauce. And this is all, you know, this is like one of those, you know, family recipes. You take, how much are you making? I don't know. You know, so a little bit of fish sauce. And then you put in whatever vegetables and protein you want. We often use chicken, and sometimes we use shrimp, but we always put in some cooked eggplant and zucchini and carrots and whatever you happen to have around. It doesn't really matter.
Good for leftovers, yeah.
Yeah, and you just put it in the pot and you cook it until the vegetables are soft, because the chicken will cook or the shrimp will cook quickly, and you serve it on top of rice. And it's just a winner every single time, and it takes no time to put together.
So flavorful. And what do you pair with that? What wine?
Well, we pair whatever Pinot Noir I happen to have at the table at the time. And guess it's always Pinot Noir in our case. But, you know, we like to have the Pommard with that. It's a little bit more, you know, bigger wine.
Yes, to where we go to with counteract the spice. Clones. Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
nice.
And Zinfandel is really good with it as well.
Yeah.
So I love the recipe, but I also love what you started by saying. We have lunch together at the winery every day.
Yeah, we do. It's incredible. We have actually Dave Lowe, our winemaker, cooks us lunch most every day. And some days, sometimes Jim May steps in, who's one of our tasting room people, but also a trained chef.
How great is that?
And we make a delicious lunch for the staff every single day at the winery at noon. And it's, you know, it's not sandwiches. I mean, it's delicious. It's curry. It's chicken. It's, you know.
I've been out there like for a tasting thing or something, and lunch is starting. I'm thinking, oh my God, you do this every day?
You don't do that every day at the office?
I haven't done that every day.
That's with our hot plate.
I mean, it started with harvest lunches. Everybody does harvest lunches. Right. And then it just kept going. And then we love the feeling of being a family and eating together. And, you know, we are out in Dry Creek where there's not a lot of places to go eat.
Yeah, you can go get something quick.
That's great. Right.
And so it's just been part of our family attitude.
There's some great conversations around that, too. Mm-hmm.
I love it. That's awesome. So I can't wait to try the recipe.
All right. So we will put this recipe, the ingredients, and everything in the show notes. And thank you so much, Renee.
Thanks for calling.
Enjoy it.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I think it's nice you, throughout the year, you do a lot of sort of family-oriented things. I mean, that's not this time of year, but you do the pumpkin thing for Halloween. It seems like throughout the year, I'm sure for Easter, there's going to be an Easter egg hunt or something. And I think that's great. I think it opens it up to the community, and the locals really love that. I think that's really nice.
Yeah, I think that's important for us to be a part of the community and offer really cool, unique experience for our guests.
For the whole fam.
Yeah, that's right.
When that pool went in, I thought, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And then I've been there several times now. Still trying to decide, maybe it's not that ridiculous.
In Italy, you know, you just don't go to the beach. You have to have a reservation. You have the beach clubs and the cabanas, and people go to the same club year after year after year. And it's such a, you know, that's such an Italian experience. And that's what's so integrated there, too.
Yeah. And I think it's fun. I mean, I think it's one of the coolest experiences, experience in the county. We have a separate kitchen that executes the food for the pool. So we have a wood-burning oven out there. And real fun menu with handheld food.
Yeah.
And it's relaxed and casual, but you can get a frozen cocktail or a glass of wine.
I have.
The frozen cocktails can get you in trouble if you're there all day.
We went one year. It was the hottest day of the year. We didn't plan it on that way, but it must have been 103. It was very hot.
I love that.
But it was perfect out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our whole Wine Road crew went this summer. It was really nice. Like, we'd had a rough summer and wrapping things up, I think it was in September. Like, well, this is nice.
Yeah.
We loved it.
And we have the bocce courts there as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually a wine and bocce experience that we offer through the tasting room.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
we gotta do that.
Yeah, that's super fun. You get a private host, the access to two bocce courts, and taste four different wines. So that's another great way to spend the day there.
Yeah, I think when I talk to visitors, more and more want more. They want things like that. I think that things have changed from when, you know, 10 years ago, people showed up and just went from winery to winery and stood at the bar and tasted three or four wines and moved on. And they want something different now. And they don't want it to all be just a seated charcuterie board food pairing. They want other things. I mean, people that are doing yoga in the vineyards are being successful. And if you can do some bocce and bring some friends and that's really what people are looking for when they come. They want an experience.
Yeah, we've brought back our tour of the facility as well.
Oh, that's good.
You can go through all the memorabilia with one of our hosts, and then they'll actually walk you into the bottling area, and you kind of get a little glimpse into all of that. So it's fun, too.
That's what people want to do. They want more. More, more, more.
You can always see claret bottling. It seems to be bottling
all the time,
every day, with its beautiful gold net.
Yeah, the net is cool. So anything else that we need to tell people about coming to visit and what they should do? Do they need a reservation in the taste room or do they do walk-in tastings?
I think we highly recommend that people make reservations so they can get their time that
they really would like.
Mm-hmm. But we definitely do take walk-ins. It just may limit the, you know, availability of what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Calling in advance is a great thing. And then making a reservation at Rustic and having a beautiful lunch out there. I think it's one of my favorite spots to sit for lunchtime, for sure.
Oh, I mean, I just feel like I'm a whole new person when I do get to sit out there. I try to make meetings, lunch meetings. Let's go to Rustic.
And don't forget our wine club, too. We have a terrific wine club, two different tiers. And you get access to exclusive pool events and pickup parties, as well as other discounts around our wineries. And it's a terrific club.
I have several friends in Eureka who come down. They're members of the club, and yeah, they're fans. They do seem to get great perks, and they are treated great as soon as they show up and you're a wine club member.
We like super fans like that.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm always like, okay.
So we know on Tim's day off, he likes to go fishing in his kayak. What do you like to do? Go fellow Redwood?
No, that sounds bad.
Let's not do that.
I have a young daughter. Well, she's not that young. She's 14.
Oh,
nearly.
My.
I just like to spend a lot of time with her. The more time I spend with her, the better she'll be, right?
Of course.
That's my hope, at least. Our family is active, and we love camping and water skiing and, in the wintertime, snow skiing. So we try to keep ourselves really busy. Sometimes it's too busy, but that's okay. That's what life's all about.
We live in a good place for it.
Yeah. We do live in a great place for that. Where do you like to go camping? Any favorites?
Well, my dad has some property in Cloverdale, actually, and so we just stay there. And so it's really easy. You never have to make a reservation. And it's right near Lake Sonoma. So it's a really nice, secluded place that's quiet. And
how ideal.
That's perfect.
We can hike and do whatever we would like and then spend the day at the lake if we want.
Nice. Okay, let's see. So I have nothing coming up at the Wine Road other than we're going to have our spring wine trail, and I'd have to go back and look. I think it's April 11th. It's a one-day event. It's $50, about 40 wineries participating. Tickets are available online at wineroad.com. And that's about it. I will say it's been a long time since we've been in the studio recording, but over the holidays and in January, I had so many podcast listeners email me that they were coming to Sonoma County in January, February, and March and looking for advice on, different places they should visit. And they let me know where they'd been, what their favorites were. So I'm happy to help if you are trying to plan a trip and need some advice. I'm always full of advice. So it's just beth@wineroad.com. You can shoot me a note and I'll get back to you.
Also, we should tell listeners the podcast was nominated yet again for a Taste Award in Best Food Drink Podcast. Mm-hmm. And those awards are coming up March 11th. So cross your fingers for us,
folks.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I plan on going walking the red carpet.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're waiting for that.
I'm sure they are. I'm always a big hit. Okay, I think that's it.
So we'll put everything we talked about in the show notes. They'll put the link in how to reach Francis Ford Coppola.
We'll finish off this Prosecco.
We'll put a link to this beautiful wine, too. This is really lovely. Thank you for bringing this. And we'll see you on the Wine Road. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.